No, I have not
Oh my
seen
God.
a little person get drop kick off ropes and
Oh, it.
get flipped over it.
I'll find it real quick. I'll send it to you. This, I cannot believe you haven't seen this.
It is amazing how little time I spend online these days.
It's been around for, I'm gonna say 5, 10 years.
Oh, jeez. Well,
Yeah.
then, yeah, maybe I've seen it and I am just not, the memory banks are failing me at this point on it, if it's been around that long.
Yeah, I told you Joe Dombrowski is one of the announcers for MLW now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because I think that was one of your last updates on MLW.
Okay, so yeah, this is 10 years ago. It's still glorious too. Yeah, I was like, boom!
Well, did you send it to me?
I'm getting there. I actually wanted to watch the clip, but I'm sending it to you. It's still funny. All this time later, it's still funny. And I don't know how that kid, Jesus Christ, I don't know how that man did not get hurt.
Well, yeah, those guys, they love to take bumps. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
You've never seen that before?
I do not think I've seen that
Oh
before.
my God.
You're the AAA expert of the two of
Know,
us, so.
whenever someone finds out I like wrestling, they're like, dude, have you seen this? I'm like, yes. Like, yeah, it's. So I think
Yeah, he
that's the
really
secret.
just he drop kicks him a little too low and launches him from his backside instead of like a little further up on
But
his mid back area. I know
this
that the
literally,
target's kind of small,
I
literally.
mean, but I think with the force he kicked him, like he didn't pull punches. So unless it was planned, you know, like he just slid and kind of kicked him out from under him. But if he would have kicked him in the back, that guy'd be dead. So.
I don't know. I think there's padding on the backside there to help him out for that spot.
It could be, yes. But, yeah. So, no.
I
Mexicans don't give a fuck, man. It's crazy. Them Japanese people don't care. And it was, like, we have our, like, fringe stuff here, like GCW and that.
oh. Well,
But
I
over
mean,
there,
you
it
mean
seems.
fringe like AEW?
Well, I saw. Did you, like, then you did not see. I think it was a GCW show.
Yeah.
One of the wrestlers got pissed at somebody in the crowd, and the story goes, this guy was harassing all the wrestlers all night, and during like one of these idiotic light tube matches, the crowd is like a foot away from the ring, and I guess the guy had enough of him and like smashed the light tube on the guy's sign, and then like went after the guy, and to this guy's credit, he didn't back down. He just grabbed another sign and was like holding it up, and it's like, I don't know what's going on, but this blood, like, this guy is bloody as hell, and he's like swinging a light tube at the guy. I was like, okay, these aren't gimmick then, if, or are they gimmicked? I don't know.
I did not think so, I suppose.
I didn't think so either.
'Cause I don't know how you really reproduce that without great expense.
Yeah, it does seem like if you made them all out of sugar glass, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
And then put like powder in it, then yeah, it'd be, you know.
That would be quite a process.
Yeah, and especially with the amount of light tubes that get used now.
Oh. Yeah.
Like the main rosters, I'm sorry, the big companies have either not caught up to light tubes, which is fine. Or they're like, hell no. And then
Oh.
the door thing. I remember that AIW show was the first one I remember seeing doors used.
I don't think that there's too big of a crowd chanting for tables for that to be a regular thing with the Doors.
What match over the weekend? I don't know. Did you catch up with everything or no?
The only thing I did not watch at this point is Double or Nothing.
I didn't watch it either, so that's fine.
So yeah, I've caught up to all of the wrestling. I caught the Battleground. I caught Night of Champions.
Okay.
It did help that I got to watch at least the end of Battleground on vacation there.
Yeah.
That sped up the catch up process.
All right, so with that, I think it was Dragunov and Dijak. The idiot crowd started chanting, "We want tables." I think it was that match. And it's just annoying now anyways, because like, why are tables still over? Yeah, it's not new. When we were in college, they were using tables. Mind it was the beginning,
Yeah,
but
like it was mind blowing then. Now it's like it's such a common thing that, yeah, I don't know why it's. I guess just kind of like anything good in wrestling, there's got to be a chant associated with it, or else it's not gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a "We want Singapore canes, we want si like."
No, we want kendo,
We
you know?
want kendo.
So, yeah, it's always tables. Maybe it's just the champ part's easy. Because there's never a we want chair, chairs. It's always tables. And it's like, oh, just. And it's not. It obviously is going to hurt. Don't get me wrong. But after a while, a table spot is not impressive unless the thing obliterates, you know?
Yeah, it never looks as harsh to me as other spots.
No, it really doesn't.
You know, just even though it kind of has a nice sound to it, there's only really so many ways you can go through a table. It is essentially any ver some version of a splash.
And I think that, I don't know, power bomb, whatever.
Oh, I guess power bomb's the other thing. But, you know, like an elbow is essentially a splash, a leg drop, essentially a splash.
The one that always gets me and always really pops a crowd is when a wrestler stands in the corner and then charges someone and misses. Because that one, I mean, you're going blind into this thing, so you really have to like take heed of your momentum and all of that, because you could legitimately crash right into the turnbuckle pad, you know?
Yeah,
And
but
mess yourself up.
you've still got to go strong enough to get through the table.
Right. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I would imagine that's a little bit of a delicate spot to put yourself in.
But outside of that, yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess falling off of it from a great distance, but even that is still you coming off of a 20-foot ladder that's in the ring, not that you went through the table, I guess.
Oh yeah, that's that is the impressive part, is the height of the drop, not the table part really. Even beginning with Mick Foley's fall, like it was never about the table itself.
Well,
I mean, that thing did get obliterated, but
yeah, and like, okay, I don't know this. I don't remember what Mick Foley would say, but didn't the table actually help a little? Because he hit it instead of going straight to the ground. So like, I don't. Am I stupid in that? Like, that would help, but he also said like he slid off the table instead of like going through it. And obviously the Shane McMahon one had the crash pad under it. But
Oh yeah, I think I'd have to view it again, but I kind of understand. Like instead of him bouncing off of it, he slid off of it more than
yeah.
that.
Drove him into the guardrail or whatever.
Yeah.
that's so long ago. It's amazing. Like the whole thing with that is still just the insanity of that spot. Because we'd always joke, you know, let's just throw someone off. And within 90 seconds that thing started, there he goes. I'll never. That was at the old house I lived in. I'll never forget that.
The part that I never forget is the fact that at the time, our friend Jen, that was the first ever wrestling pay-per-view that she watched.
That's right, yes.
And we're like, yeah, just stop watching now. Like,
yeah.
It is not going to get crazier than this. It, you know, like, it's not going to get any more jaw-dropping than this. Like, just walk away now.
Yeah, I mean, there was a definite level of just give up. Especially, like, the first one, we're like, oh my god, we're all going crazy. Never seen this before. And then...
he gets chokeslammed through the cage after that.
It. And the whole room, there were a bunch of us, too.
Yeah.
Because she had her little blonde friend over. I don't remember her name.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever her name was. And then, like, the guy she was seeing and the regular crew of people just not believing what we're seeing. Like,
yeah, that it was a jaw-dropping moment.
Yeah.
And that in just, every way possible.
And then just everything else. Like, good Lord. That would never happen now. You know that?
Well, like you said about Shane McMahon's, like, there was definitely that crash pad under there. Like, yeah, they're not letting that happen. It may be the cage spot, but I think... did they mention that on... I think it was even on the A&E, like, preview clip recently, where someone mentioned that the Hell in a Cell that Mick went off was, like, way lower than the ones that Shane went off of.
Yes, yeah. They said they're up, like... it was, what, 15 feet? And then it went to 20, I think, now?
Yeah, it's either 20 or 25. Yeah, it was a jump, and it's just like, oof.
Yeah. Because I know they tried to recreate it with Rikishi going into the, what was it? Was that manure or just straw? It's Vince, so it's always got to be something else.
Yeah, I forget exactly what that was.
Yeah, I just remember it going, okay. Like, I guess for him, because Rikishi said he's scared of heights, so that's, like, a big deal. But, I don't know. And I don't remember if that was before or after Owen Hart, too. Where it's, like, any sort of stunt like that's going to be, like, highly scrutinized, you know?
Well, I mean, the Foley spot was definitely after.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember I hadn't really gotten back into wrestling that long. Like, I think that you had just reintroduced me to it there in, what was that, 96.
Oh, wow.
Right before I went to Florence. So, and I want to say that his thing happened in 97 then, because I remember watching Through the Fuzz at my parents' place. So I want to... well, or yeah, it was more listening Through the Fuzz than watching Through the Fuzz, quite honestly.
I had my time all messed up. That makes perfect sense. Because this Mick Foley thing would have never happened if it was after Owen Hart.
Well, no, it was.
Wait, am I getting it backwards then?
Yeah, because I want to say that Owen Hart happened in 97, and then you were on that corner in either 98 or... oh, you moved to Streetsboro in 99. That's right.
No, Stowe.
Stowe. Whatever.
Yeah, Streetsboro. Jesus Christ.
Whatever. It felt like you were, like, in another state.
Yeah, it was, like, down the street, which is funny. Okay. So, that was 98. June 28th. In Pittsburgh.
The Owen Hart thing?
No, Hell in a Cell.
Oh, okay. Hell in a Cell.
And Owen Hart.
I want to say this
was that was May 23rd, 1999.
Oh.
So yeah, okay, yeah, so yeah. Sorry, so I'll go back to what I was saying. Yeah,
Oh wow, I had yeah, I was the wrong with the one with the wrong timeline.
still so sad just seeing the picture of him. Like, obviously not of him dead, but just like seeing pictures of him. Like, god damn, what a way to go. Just in
Yeah.
general, you know, we were just talking about people getting run over by lava. I that almost seems fine, you know, compared to what he had to go through. But yeah, I swear, if Owen would have been first, there's no way the hell in hell. And really, like, wasn't Mick kind of taken a task for up in the ante for dangerous stunt work or dangerous work and all that? Like,
Oh
taking
yeah.
the blame for making the bar so high. And
Yeah.
but yeah, I guess, and we've seen some insane stuff ever since. Whether it's his fault or not, but
Oh yeah, that's one where I always go, if it wasn't Mick Foley, someone was gonna do it.
yeah.
If nothing else, I don't know. I know that we don't really hear it as much now, but we definitely heard it during the Attitude Era about Jimmy Snuka coming off the cage against Don Morocco. You know, like that
Yeah.
used to be kind of the big daredevil spot, and you know, someone at some point was going to up the ante, and it happened to be Mick Foley. Is the way that I always look at it. Like, I guess you can blame him for kind of popularizing it, but also at the same time, because what did you say? The Owen Hart. Because I mean, I know that I started watching like the Japanese deathmatch thing after
that. That was after.
So, but I mean, they were already doing that stuff in Japan. Like, I guess that spot is different than exploding barbed wire in a way, you know what I mean? But still, the stuff that they were doing over there already was fucking insane.
Yeah, that's true. And it actually got toned down over here. Keeping the same concept, but
right.
You know, because we started getting flaming tables. You know, even like Mick's retirement match with Hunter. You know, it's he caught the was a baseball bat, right, or was it a 2x4, barbed wire 2x4, caught it on fire. Him and Edge at WrestleMania. That, like, it's always something. But it was still toned down. So,
yeah, the only thing that wasn't toned down was the whole rock chair shot thing. So,
again, something else that would just never happen now. But thank God it would never happen.
Yes, that is one of those. This is a positive development along all lines.
Well, that's why, like, to go to modern wrestling, that's why I see some of the stuff AEW does, and it's just dumb. Like, Jeff Jarrett. Taron Jarrett hitting people with guitars still. And yes, they're gimmicked, but they're like, people aren't getting their hands up. So it just,
I guess that one doesn't bother me just because that thing looks like, saying it's made out of balsa wood would be a disservice to balsa wood.
There's got to be something heavier to it though. Because it makes a thunderous sound every time. Balsa wood, you know, that stuff doesn't, you break it, it doesn't even make a sound.
Yeah, it used to.
Oh, well.
It did make in models, at least. but, yeah, I don't, that's one of the few ones, I guess, that out of AEW that really does not bother me that much.
Yeah, I mean, they still like doing their chair shots.
The chair shots are still a little too like, really, guys?
Yeah.
And especially, they love the whip the chair at someone's face. And I mean, everyone just really goes for it.
Yeah. It's like, hey, that hurts. That can still hurt you, dumbasses.
Yeah, it feels like it. You could do that and still be a little safer about how you're doing it.
Well, there's still that amateur, like amateur hour feel to AEW sometimes with some of these people. Or like, it's some of the angles, I should say. And it's just like, okay. And I don't know. So neither of us saw Double or Nothing, right?
Correct.
Okay, so us not having seen it, you got nothing from Sammy Guevara last night, right? Unless I missed it.
I didn't even think about that. No, did not see Sammy at all. Didn't.
Darby's just in a tag match.
Didn't see MJF?
No, I was getting that he was going to be last. The fucking champion doesn't even have an appearance on there. Not even a backstage vignette, as far as I remember.
Yeah, I mean, because he has made a gimmick out of not wrestling, why was he not, at least on the show, not wrestling, you know? Like, it literally feeds into his gimmick.
Yeah, but it's like, it just boggles my mind, because, like, even Jungle Boy comes out, and he helps Hook out. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, there's no follow-up. Like, oh, he was just in the main event. Now he's out there helping Hook. And it's like, oh, do you remember when they teamed up for 3 weeks back last year?
And two of the matches were on Rampage.
Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I remember because, again, I do actually watch Rampage more times than not. Although that might have been one that only got three quarters watched this week.
Yeah, it's kind of a meaningless show. But right, especially right before their pay-per-view, it's a meaningless show.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, last night was supposed to be all about, you know, like the follow-up to Double or Nothing, right? Not a whole lot got followed up. Like, it was the people who were on Double or Nothing were on the show, some of them, mind you.
Oh.
FTR gets in a fight with the Golden Elite, right? Or Elite Gold. Or Bullet Club Gold. So, it's like, okay. The Young Bucks and Hangman Page are backstage for a 5-minute segment, if that. Didn't really say much, and all that served to do was get Hangman and the Dark Order
back on bad terms.
Yeah. So it's like, I know they just want to move on, and that's fine, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't seem right. Now, I will say the Chris Statlander stuff, that was really good. Like, the vignette she had, and then her and Nyla Rose was good.
She was already almost treated better than Jade Cargill for the majority of her run.
Yes. Okay, I've actually seen, it was argued that, like, Jade Cargill's run is better than Roman Reigns. And I was like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Oh.
Roman, yes, defends it less. Roman Reigns also brings it against the top guys, where Jade had matches on Rampage that no one saw against Blue Velvet or Blue Sky 74 times out of the 56 she won.
Yeah.
So, or 51, she won, whatever.
Yeah, they...
Sky Blue, that's okay.
Yeah, Sky Blue. I was just going to let that go, because, I mean, the point is essentially there. Or not essentially, it's still there. Yeah. You know, despite their names, like, a vast majority of her defenses were against women that is definitely classified as enhancement talent.
But then she's in Ring of Honor as a legit wrestler, I think. Which is another thing, like...
No.
Yeah, like, Willow Nightingale is treated like a big deal for Ring of Honor, too, I believe.
That I can at least understand, because they had a good little push going for her until they decided to stop putting her on TV.
Well, now she's the New Japan Women's Strong Champion?
Yes.
Because she wasn't supposed to win, but you gotta do something. So, no, I don't know. AEW to me was a weird show, and it didn't seem like they followed up on anything and in fact had a rematch out of the blue. Like, you're supposed to have this unsanctioned lights out match, whatever, right?
No.
And then the next day you're in a mixed tag match, like,
and
that
with,
you announced the week before, by the way,
and with regular rules.
Yeah. Like, I expected something else. I thought, like, Jericho was going to accidentally hit Britt Baker or something. You know?
Oh.
Like, give us something. Because why would you give us a blow-off to a feud in a tag setting when you just had an unsanctioned match? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's one where after Cole and Baker won, I'm like, I guess we're done with this feud then? Like, that's one of the few ones where I'm like, it just started, so despite the fact that I think everyone that Jericho's touches has gone bad, it felt like that feud should carry on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It was a little bit weird to me. I'm like, well, he's beaten Jericho twice clean now. Like, once in the unsanctioned match and now in a tag match. Like, Jericho doesn't have anywhere to go.
Oh, dude, when he said, what was it? What was that at the end? He set up for the boom, and he said, I told you this was going to happen, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then he hits him, and then pins him. And I was like, what? I don't know. Like, maybe the announcers didn't build it up as this supreme finale, right? Or maybe they didn't do a good enough job in the ring. But I know it's like his move. Don't get me wrong. But it just seemed like something else was going to happen. Especially after the match when they're watching Jericho, like, throw a fit. They're pacing back and forth. Like,
yeah.
Something supposed to pop up?
I kept on waiting for something myself. Like, just because of the lingering camera shot, I'm like, oh, okay, something's happening here then. And nope, nothing ever happened there.
And the same thing goes for Jungle Boy and Hook.
Oh,
that
yes.
After Celebration lasted a while, I was like, oh, they're going to turn Jungle Boy? Because he was dressed in all black. You know, black leather's always a bad guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and he kept like going, hey, look at do this. You could see Jungle Boy telling Hook, hey, like, follow these cues, do this and this. I honestly expected something bad to happen.
He still had the chair in hand, even though the heels were chased already. Normally a baby face will throw that down or something after the threat has gone away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of body language that, to me, was screaming, he's going to blast Hook with this chair.
Yeah.
And like you said, there was a lot of lingering. Well, and the camera work was like, again, there was kind of a lot of lingering and then just nothing.
I want to break in real quick. So I'm watching MLWs from Tijuana, and John Hennigan is the national openweight champion. There is this guy that's been, whenever someone comes down the ring, he's been holding his beer out at the wrestlers. Hennigan finally had enough. He came out and just kicked it straight out of the guy's hand. I was pissed, too. Oh, that's funny. I like stuff like that. So, but yeah, maybe they're setting us up as well. Like, oh, you just get used to these weird lingering shots for whatever reason, you know? And then finally something happens.
I guess. I mean, I'm not going to remember that they did this stuff probably next week.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much disposable stuff on the show. And, you know, and maybe it is Jungle Boy and Hook are going to have a feud. That's fine. And this is just like the beginning. But really, the biggest one was Cole and Baker. It's like, nothing's going on. And they had that snippy comment, like the snippy vignette or backstage interview with Tony Storm, but other than that, it was, oh, Tony Storm won the title.
Well, again, I am at least gonna disagree with you a little bit. I am glad that Toni Storm was the focal point of that backstage segment.
Very true. Yes. Yes.
Saraya, despite the fact that Saraya was in the main event of that very show, she was still just a side character. And Ruby was definitely in the support role 100%. So I did at least enjoy, yeah, you featured the champion instead of saying, oh, here's Britt Baker with the champion.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's very fair. But it's also, like, the whole blow-off, or, like, Jamie Hayter losing kind of goes along with that. Jamie Hayter lost. Oh, let's go talk to the new champion. Like, well, wait, like, how does she feel about losing? Like, is she okay? What happened?
Oh, yeah, and it's just, like, they point out, because at least it was in the write-up that I read, and it makes sense about why we haven't really seen Jamie Hayter, was that she was herself injured.
Yeah, yeah, shoulder injury.
That women's championship definitely seems to be somewhat cursed.
But also, if they weren't sloppy, stuff wouldn't happen. Got to call it how it is. And now it's Toni Storm again. But this is the first time she's won it. She's actually won the championship. Like, she won the interim and then became champion when they were like, they took the interim tag off.
Right.
So, yeah, I know, like, lineage wise it's the same, but so I guess this is like her technically her first real world championship. Like, she beat somebody to win it instead of beating somebody to win the interim title, just to have it changed because the other lady doesn't show up. You know, she was hurt. Sorry, she was hurt. I shouldn't have said that like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, but then, like, we didn't get anything from the House of Black.
We did get, evidently the Acclaimed is going to stay in the world of the Trios Championship.
This seems like a total setup for Billy Gunn to reunite with his kids.
Yes.
Because he used vague-ass language. He's like, I let down those that are most important to me. And you're automatically supposed to go, oh, the Acclaimed. It's like, well, maybe. And,
yeah,
you know, not that I want to see the Guns, but...
Oof, no. You know,
the Acclaimed, you know. Kind of like, oh, it's all right, daddy ass, and this and this. And it's like, well, we'll see.
Yeah, they seem to be playing up the love for him almost a little too much, too, not to be something.
Yeah, so it'll be totally heartbreaking, you know, when he turns or whatever. So, it's not like they didn't do things last night. It just, I don't know. It didn't seem like they wrapped anything up. More so just shoved Double or Nothing away. We're just moving forward. Like, that's it. I guess there's something okay about that, but
well, I guess it depends. The only thing that did carry over that I'm not sure I wanted to carry over is that what already feels like the never ending Ricky Starks, Jay White, Juice Robinson feud. Good God. I guess it's another one. Why is this ending on TV? If it's an important feud, it should not be ending on TV.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, I'm with you. I saw, all right, you know, Golden Bullet Club, whatever, Bullet Club Globe.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't care. And FCR, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We're moving on. And Ricky Starks comes out, and I was like, oh, come on, really? Like, all right, it's nothing against Ricky Starks. I like him, but this feud's going nowhere. And Jay White signed with AEW, and so did Juice Robinson, mind you, to do this.
The one thing that did kill me about that segment, I was about in tears when Tony Schiavone only called him Rock Hard. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But I guess when you're rock hard, that's the way you that's the way you get called.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's just I don't know. I we started talking about this weeks, maybe months ago. The fall of Juice Robinson is something to behold.
Yeah. I mean, oh.
He was insane hot in New Japan. And nothing. I mean, it was like an immediate fall off.
Yeah, it's been wild because I know that we've missed a lot of that New Japan time frame where after. Well, no, because he kind of got cooled off before he went back there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he. Well, I think what was telling, like, he beats Cody for the U.S. title finally. And then didn't he get his ass kicked by John Moxley? And then Moxley lost it? Or something happened, and then Lance Archer just destroys Juice Robinson. And that just seemed like that was the end. As far as I remember. I mean, my timeline might be off.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it's not important enough for me to pull up. So,
no, but it's just a weird study in like being successful while you're going down. Because it really did seem like he was like, all right, he's gonna go somewhere in New Japan, and he just fucking didn't. He had Okada, lost. That was it. Peace out, buddy.
Yeah, and sometimes New Japan plays that you've got to lose 12 times before you finally get the big win. It was not the case with him. You know, like, the loss did not set up the eventual win for him.
Not at all. So, I don't know. It's just, it always perplexed me because, you know, he was high on everyone's radar. He re-signed to New Japan. WWE wanted him back, you know, and then.
Oh, just there were so many of those, honestly, like another one that was in a segment that I'm just like, whew, we really thought he was going to go somewhere once he moved to AEW, right? Swerve Strickland.
All right. Immediately, yes. I mean, him and Keith Lee win the titles, have that whole thing, and then it's just been like some weird stuck in the mud stuff ever since. But then now he's getting the international title shot next week, which I'm kind of figuring that's when Orange finally loses. I don't know.
Oh, I guess it'd be a choice. I
mean, if you were going to say somebody, I would have said Keith Lee.
Oh, to beat Juice?
No, I mean, just as in going nowhere.
Oh, well, I mean, him too. he was also, like, another one of those, I feel like he's been gone most of the time that he's been there.
Yeah, I mean, well, remember, he got exiled to Rampage, too. So
again, regular Rampage watcher.
True.
It when it was him and Swerve, or him against Swerve, but Swerve broke the block over his chest, and he was gone for like a month and a half after.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, at least.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I just remember that debut for Keith Lee to where he is now. When he, what was it? It was Private Party, right? Faced one of them and just threw him. It was like, I think it was Isaiah Cassidy.
Probably.
And he just threw him around. Because
Mark Quinn has been on the shelf for quite some time juncture.
Yeah. So, and now, like, well, poor Dante Martin, he's done for a while. If hopefully not forever, but I was like, gruesome ass injury. So
yeah,
because I think Darius Martin's still out too. I don't think he's been seen since as well, unless he's on Ring of Honor TV, and I just haven't seen him.
Yeah, that one's kind of weird just because I feel like they have done a lot of singles match stuff with him for a little while, and then all of a sudden you didn't see it at all.
Yeah. It's just kind of the story with AEW and everything. Like, guys come and go. Like, there's really no one special. Like, MJF is special. Because of how he's used, because he's booked. I think Orange definitely is.
Yes.
Darby for sure. So the reason I just wanted to talk about Darby Allin again. So his opponents have to hate him. He just putting guys in the corner and running full speed and just bouncing back and forth. And it's like, did one of them just bail? Like, I'm tired of this. Because he turned around to run, he was gone.
Yeah, I think he was supposed to be slipping over the rope to try and get around him, and it didn't go as smoothly as they wanted to.
But yeah, and then he does that, he does that suicide dive, which is a legit suicide dive. He just throws himself as hard as he can through the ropes. It's great.
Yeah, he just does a cannonball onto someone
And then
at
the
the highest
one,
speed possible.
it's the Gates of Agony, right?
Yes.
I don't know who's who. So
Neither do
whoever,
I.
okay, so when Darby was coming off the ropes and they changed that camera angle and he just like Darby's in midair and he just gets crushed.
Oh.
That I rewound, I was like, oh my God, he killed him. And then I was like, maybe that's a camera trick. They did that on purpose. So then AEW actually posted it from the hard cam. And yes, it was a camera trick. Like,
Oh.
he still gets hit, it's still, but it doesn't look nearly as fast, and it doesn't look nearly as brutal. So as much as I complain about technical stuff with AEW, kudos. Because that was handled beautifully. He killed Darby Allin. So, but yeah, it's like, what are we gonna do with Orange and Darby? Just put them in a match together. Well, they can't feud. No, just put them in the same damn match. Make them a tag team for no reason. Okay. So,
Yeah, just get him on TV.
yeah, and it feels like Swerve is going to beat Orange finally. Unless, with the way they keep building up Wheeler Yuta. Wait, what did I
Wheeler
just say? Did I just say Wheeler Yuta?
Yeah.
Wheeler Yuta? Wow. All right.
That was one where he hasn't really had any reason to honestly pick the Blackpool Combat Club over Best Friends.
No.
And them giving him a push finally might give him a reason, but I guess I just don't see this thing lasting, and I don't yeah, I don't see his big push coming in the near future.
I don't know, because they made a big deal about how he beat Kenny Omega. Like, he's the one that pinned him. And he got the win this week.
Yeah.
So, I don't
It's
know.
possible. I guess I should say I don't think it's going to be sustained over a long time period. Because I don't think he's very. I mean, I like him. There's still something. He's kind of like the other people. Like, I guess I don't really have a whole lot of reason to invest in him currently. Other
Oh,
than
no.
I saw him on the Indies, I thought he was cool there. And yeah, just no character. And maybe they'll work that in here.
That's what I'm wondering if that's the case. It's fine. Like, he's like the kid of the group. He's kind
Oh.
of like what Sammy used to be.
Yeah.
But, So, oh yeah, and the opening match was fine, except for the same stupid Lucha Bros stuff they always do. And then, look, I know that standing suplex is, like, impressive to watch. But even Bryan Danielson was yelling, just knee him in the head. So.
That's
my AEW review for the week.
Actually, that was one of the few times Bryan Danielson on the mic there. I was like, oh, this is actually useful. He's helping build up this match. A shocking concept from a guest announcer.
Yeah.
I feel like that is not common enough, honestly. Like, Don Callis is probably the only other person that really does that on the regular.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not Taz. And definitely not when Jericho's on, that's for sure.
Oh, no. So. And, yeah. There were one too many, hey, we're cutting to Tony Schiavone again segments.
Or, here's a special announcement from Tony Khan. That poor dude is so awkward. Like, even, like, I watched, like, the All Access show with people talking to him. He's awkward. Doing press conferences, he's awkward. It's like, dude, I don't know, like, what you're so awkward about. I mean, you own the fucking company. Like, act like the boss. Act confident.
Yeah, it seems like there should be a little more going on there. Or that he'd actually get comfortable at some point. You know, like, I understand that maybe you don't do that all the time, but you're kind of doing that all the time now. Like, get used to it. Especially, well, such a short announcement. But
was it Focus or Feature CM Punk? Was it Focus? No.
Oh, I don't remember exactly what the wording was, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought it was rather specific. So it just sounds like he's going to be on Saturday only, which is funny because in August, Collision is actually going to be in Greenville.
Oh, okay.
I'm not driving to go, so I'm tired of driving that. So,
oh, fair enough.
The few times I do it a year, so.
Well, since that was the end of your AEW review, do you want to move on to NXT?
Sure. Let's just start right off the bat. Schism still sucks. I don't care. I wish they would have let the Grizzled Young Veterans go. I just feel bad for them.
I thought that their sacrifice would lead to some positive for Joe Gacy and Ava Rain. Or are they just calling her Rain now? Whatever. I don't care, I guess.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But it hasn't. Like, their constant bungling is just bringing the group down. It's like they're losing on the way out and just dragging down Joe Gacy and Ava Rain with them. So, yeah, it's like just let them go or don't feature them. Like, I don't understand why they're in the majority of their matches. Although, I guess this one they were not actually in the match.
Yeah, no, it... I just want to get that out of the way. I don't like it. Joe Gacy has got to stop with the trunks. I know, you know, you're not supposed to body shame people. Fine. It looks terrible. And when he's on TV like the week before and just pants and a black shirt and he looked legit, like, better. There's no way around it. He looked better. He looked more professional in street clothes than he did in his, like, wrestling gear.
Oh.
So,
Yeah, he did look better during the, 'cause did they do a beat down at some point, or was that last week that the beat down happened?
I don't know. It's just getting to be so much with all these consistent, constant beatdowns. You know, it's just like, okay. Another one? Cool. Like, beatdowns happen every single show now. So, it's hard to keep track of all of them. But,
Oh.
yeah. And I guess, I'm guessing, unless I miss something, which is, you know, entirely possible. I was a little distracted Tuesday, doing a show with Chris, and I'm kind of remembering, oh, I didn't go back and finish the show. So, was Braun Breaker on the show?
I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't think so either. So, you know, start the call now. Kind of curious he's not there, huh?
That's one where it makes a little bit of sense for him not to show up. Just with his bravado, going into the match.
Yeah.
And like you said, I do also kind of wonder if this is call-up territory.
That's what I mean. They said they wanted him to stay down there to work on the heel character. I think he got it.
Yeah, I think we've covered that ground pretty well. It's just like, yeah, he's doing well. Like, if you really want him up there, just go for it.
Yeah. So yeah, I can. That's what I'm expecting too. And I think I was surprised Cora Jade was still around. I figured she'd be going up. Chris even said, like, we were talking offline. He's like, well, damage control needs a third right now.
Oh.
So you can slip her in there, the little punk kid of it.
Yeah, I mean, if they decide to keep those two together.
And I know it was like a one-off thing, right? And this is Roth, but whatever. I just find it odd. Like, Asuka got the match against Bianca when that reaction for Io in Puerto Rico was amazing. And it's like they've never really tried to take advantage of that.
Oh.
Like, back here in the States afterwards. I mean,
I think
that's a
Io's
classic stubbornness.
generally gotten a good reception, and that's why I'm still kind of hesitant about Cora Jade being the third with that group. You know what I mean? Just because Bayley has been such a good heel for such a long time. It seems like if you want to make Io Sky a babyface, turning on Bayley is going to do the trick for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, whether they go that route or they just repair their their relationship, I don't know. You could do that with Cora, but who knows?
Yeah, it just seemed like there was other stuff, like, because Bianca, Chris and I were talking, and Bianca never won the NXT Women's title. And it just,
Oh.
like, kind of shows, like, you don't need it to become something. You just don't. And I kind of hope that, you know, it's a little lesson learned. You don't always have to give your top guys, like, the title, you know? They can go to the main roster, and, you know, when they get up there, they're going to change them around a little anyways. So, like, the NXT title, while important, isn't that big of a deal when you go up to the main roster. Like, oh, he's a former NXT champion. Okay. Next. So. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. NXT was a weird show, too. Like, Tiffany Stratton having her little special get together. And, like, all the women just standing around ringside like idiots.
Yeah, that was maybe not the best post-champion promo that I've ever heard. Also, that's just fine. Tiffany Stratton's 24 years old, and holy shit, she's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, and Yeah. It did feel like they made Roxanne Perez just somebody, though. By having her stand out there, because we were going over who all was out there. Oh. She was, like, the only it person that was out there. Because I don't even remember seeing Wendy Chu anywhere.
Yeah, because she's one that, if they wanted her to cook a little bit longer, because also she's ridiculously young, I don't know what you do. You know, like, I guess you could go as a heel character, but that just seems kind of strange. And maybe it's just because I've only seen her as a baby face so far.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to turn 4 foot tall, spunky chick into a heel. You know? So, but yeah, no, I saw the women around ringside. I'm like, all right, well, cool. So, I'm also trying to figure out, and Chris, another one of Chris's ideas was that maybe JC Jane is getting called up to be in Damage Control. Because I did not expect Gigi Dolin to win. I thought JC was going to pull something out, and guess not. I mean, I know the face usually should win, but still,
yeah.
You know, that isn't always the case in NXT. So, you know.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. They do seem to, although that is just some of the awkwardness of NXT, too. Booker T and his Jerry Lawler level of lusting after women is getting awkward. Him kind of wanting to care for JC Jane after the match. I'm like,
I was like, what's going on? Like, did he get into his downer supply this week, by the way? He did not seem like he was that energetic. Like, he wasn't having the usual Booker conversations.
Yeah, Vic Joseph had to have been just beyond happy that things weren't fucking ridiculous this week.
Yeah. It seemed like an actual broadcast. And I don't know, like, it's so jarring. I'm like, I don't know if that was needed.
Oh, man. Because there was something else that stood out to me that, good God, I didn't realize how much of, what's his name we got this week? Noam Dar.
Okay. So, you know how we keep talking about the NXT UK guys being short, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm about to say?
Noam Dar is short too.
He's taller than Carmelo Hayes as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, what? Like, is Trick Williams only 6 foot tall?
Okay. Well, this has me interested enough to type into the Wikipedia.
Because he made that leprechaun joke about JD McDonagh, and then JD McDonagh comes out and he's taller than Carmelo Hayes. And he's saying stuff about Noam Dar, and I'm like, he's going to get the job done on you now. Like, but I don't know what this obsession with Noam Dar is and, like, his weird, like, freak show stuff. Like, it's not fair to say freak show, but it's like none of these parts go together.
It is a weird combination of Lash Legend, who evidently is back from whatever sabbatical she was on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, they don't have him. I need to actually go to the WWE site. How dare you let me down like this, Wikipedia? But let's see, build height, 5'10" for Carmelo Hayes. Never a good sign when your build height is 5'10". That's like Johnny Gargano trying to sell the 6 foot thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I've seen you in person and stood beside you. You're not 6 foot.
Yeah, like there's no camera tricks in person. So, yeah, but I mean that's one of the rougher aspects of this class of NXT people. Like, I don't think Bron Breakker's probably only what 6'1", 6'2". He's not huge.
Yeah, he's still gonna make up for it, and at least he's, you know, Steiner thick.
Yes, he is.
So, some of these other guys are not just not in that category.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, hell, even not a kid. What's his name? Axios.
Oh, Axiom.
Axiom. All right. Axiom's backstage. Reggie comes up. This was so weird. He said, yeah, my people called me Scripps. He goes, oh, like your family?
Not really.
Like, what? Like, are you a walking Facebook post? Need prayers. Go through a tough time. Oh, what's wrong? Don't want to talk about it. Tension whore. And that's basically what Reggie just did. Well, they call me Scripps. Why do they call me that? Oh, they called me that. Who? Like, spit it out, motherfucker. I don't have time for this. At least Axiom wasn't like, oh, yeah, all right, great, yeah, buddy. He's like, okay.
Yeah, but of course, it does seem like they're going to be getting themselves into some weird relationship here in the near future.
That's just how they do it. So nothing really surprises me. But I also really love, they never acknowledged that was Reggie.
Oh, no, they did.
When was this?
Booker T said it immediately when the mask came off.
No, he goes, oh, you know who that is. That's all he said.
Then it was last week.
Okay, I missed that then.
Because
okay,
he said pointedly to Vic, and I think that was one of the things that I wrote down and had in the office when I came back this week, because he said to Vic, everyone knew that it was Reggie under that hood. How could you say that, Vic? And I'm just like, oh. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, Vic. You just got murdered on that one. Like, I'm calling 911 for a murder here.
By a guy who barely pays attention to the product. So.
Trick Williams, at least billed as 6'4".
Okay. Right. So, I mean, even at 6'4", he's not a giant, you know?
He's tall enough.
I guess 6'4" is not that much further away from 6'5", so.
No.
Plus, Brock's only 6'2", I think, so, you know. It's that whole deceiving thing when they're all around each other.
Yeah, when a bunch of mutants are standing beside each other, it's hard to tell which one's even taller than the others. But yeah, I think point's still well taken. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Carmelo Hayes outside of NXT and or AEW.
He's got the charisma. He's got the matches, so if they just let him go, you know, like it's the classic "don't get in the way and ruin him" sort of thing.
Like
keep it as is, and see what happens. You know, but we'll see. I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere for a while, to be honest. He may be looked at as the older statesman, with if there's like a new group of people or whatever. So.
Yeah, I mean, since he did just win the championship, I don't expect him to lose it anytime soon. It doesn't seem like there's anyone on the horizon that I'm just like. To me, it was an easy transition of Braun to Carmelo Hayes. I don't know where there's a good transition right now for Carmelo Hayes to come out of this.
No, I don't think there is. That's why. I think they've got to help build some people up. And that's why you can have, like, Noam Dar come in and do some goofy stuff like this. So, like, he's not a terrible character, but it's just, again, just another short dude.
Yeah, with not a whole lot seemingly special about him other than his Scottish accent, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's one goofy-ass match that he has himself king of.
Yeah, I mean, like the Heritage Cup. I kind of tuned out with NXT UK around this time. I have no idea what the Heritage Cup is. And I know they've mentioned it. As, oh, it's really important. Well, so are a pair of shoes. But I'm not fighting over them, you know? So you got to do better than that.
Well, I think the Heritage Cup has been fought over more on NXT TV than the FTW Championship in AEW.
Well, that's not even a real title, so...
That is correct. I guess they have at least acknowledged already on NXT that that is at least a valid trophy.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It's the FTW title. Whatever. You know, it's just, it's in
Taz
family still, so.
Oh, the good old Hookster. I don't think there's anything else. Like, I was kind of looking through NXT. I'm not sure. Like I said, like, I couldn't believe how much we got. We still are further along, but not too far along with Tony D'Angelo.
He's in jail.
Yep, he's in jail. And, I mean, they're trying to blame Gallus, but just like any good detective show, you can't have it be the first person that you blame, you know, be the actual person.
Right. It does make sense. Like, Tony D gets out, though. And it is them, you know, like
he's
out of jail, and he's like, "Yeah, you guys ratted me out." And also, is it really right? I want a definition of being a rat. I thought being a rat was when you were in an organization and you go and tell on the organization you're in.
That
whistleblower, rat,
all like the same thing. Yeah, that is usually the case, but for whatever reason, they are not using that word that way.
Yeah, and it's like, Gallus doesn't give a damn about you.
Nor should they.
And also, if they know something that you did that's illegal, and they don't tell somebody, doesn't that make them an accessory? So...
No, I don't think that makes them an accessory, but...
Well,
I mean, it makes you maybe a bad person for not reporting a crime to the police.
See, that just, I don't know. That just seems like that wouldn't be obstruction of justice. There's got to be something there.
They didn't commit any crime. Like, what are they being convicted of here? Like. They saw the video of Tony D stuffing someone into it?
Well, they've never really said what the issue was, right?
The video made it sound like it was the trunk stuffing.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
But that wasn't even Gallus.
Okay, I'm with you. I was on a different tangent with that. Okay.
To me, at least when they played the video footage for him, though we did not see it, I'm 90% sure that it was... Because who do they throw? Was it from someone from...
Dimes.
Not Dimes. They just
Pretty
did...
Deadly?
Yes.
Well,
I think it's Pretty Deadly, yeah.
I guess he'd be up for attempted murder then? Because they're clearly alive. Where Dimes has not resurrected himself anywhere.
But I mean, he didn't stuff Dimes into a trunk anywhere. He just tossed him from a bridge.
Well, how did he get to the bridge?
He tripped and fell.
He's not going to be.
He's okay. Clumsy, sir.
Hey,
like,
you know what? If they don't have footage, I'm with you. So, I like how we're analyzing this dumb shit, too. This is why I was trying to tell Chris, because he's like, he's not too interested in NXT. And I go, I'm okay with it, as long as they go with the absurdity of what they've created. And so far they are. Like,
yes.
This doesn't make any sense. Just like, why the hell is Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey teaching at Chase U? Did I miss something?
Well, it's because Duke Hudson doesn't really want to teach. But then,
okay.
The awkward part about that is that he's still kind of paying attention, and there's still the whole, I guess, I'm to the point where I'm like, no, seriously, like, I guess I understand that Andre Chase probably has an injury, and that's why he hasn't been on TV. But they haven't even attempted to explain what's happening with him.
Didn't they mention, like, well, ever since we haven't, like, the Professor Chase hasn't been seen?
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's been it.
Yeah. Well, in this weird universe they have, that's what happens. Now, the strange thing to me, I just thought of this, Briggs and Jensen were not. They've been a staple for almost every show, and none of them were on this week, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, there's nothing. There wasn't a segment at the bar or anything like that.
Yeah, and like even Kiana James, she was just one of the stooges around ringside.
Yeah, this week
that was kind of weird.
And I almost forgot about this, which is. Shows you how much of an impact it had. I forgot about the two free agents showing up on NXT this week.
Oh, I didn't forget, so.
I did.
And boy, that crowd loves when the main roster guys show up, huh? It's Ali, and they're like, oh my god, and everyone's going crazy. It's like, it's Ali. Like, calm down. And then Baron Corbin shows up. They're like, oh my gosh, Baron Corbin. Like, you guys didn't like him to begin with. Now all of a sudden, yay, he's here. Like, calm your tits, man. You're just going to turn around and hate him in a second. But and it gives them something to do.
Yeah, I like taking advantage of the whole free agent thing. Honestly, like, I don't think you should do that for everyone all the time, but to have a couple of these rovers who can move along to some things and help out, I kind of dig that idea. And honestly, it makes sense for both of them, just because Baron Corbin needed to get his mojo back, although it's going to be kind of funny because he definitely ain't winning the championship. When he ends up losing.
Yeah. And the odd thing is, like, him showing up at NXT, isn't he feuding with Cameron Grimes right now?
No, not really. I mean, he lost to him in very short order.
But then he attacked him last week.
Oh.
Yeah, he attacked him. So I was like, oh, this is still going to go then.
Yeah, that was one thing. I think I did actually fail to watch NXT from this past week because, as you point out, it was useless with the pay-per-view. So,
yeah.
that one did right get skipped before.
Yeah. I mean, they did have something major on there. I mean, like, with that's where the Jimmy stuff, you know.
Oh, R-Truth came back?
Oh, what?
Jimmy. You know, his sidekick, his invisible sidekick, Jimmy?
Stupid ass. No, that's Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Yes. So, all right, so you saw the... All right, so I know we're getting ready to wrap, but you saw the end of... Well, at least you watched Night of Champions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yep.
So I asked Chris this, and were you expecting Jimmy to turn, like, at this show? Because I certainly wasn't.
No. no, I did not expect it to go down at this show. Especially Jimmy. Yeah, I guess I thought all signs were pointing to Jay being the one to pop off, and they kept on selling him off as the hothead and everything. And it was kind of interesting that it ended up being Jimmy committing the act.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you really go back, Jimmy was the one telling Roman, like, to stop beating on Jay. Like, way back. And Jimmy was always right there with Roman. But Jimmy was also with Sammy, but he was also the first one to be like, well, fuck Sammy. And then... I mean, I understand. Well, you'd be really curious to see what happens tomorrow, Friday, whatever. Because Jimmy's got a legit gripe. He's like, you know, I sided with you for my brother. I've been their loyal soldier the entire time. I even, you know, Sammy came in, but I wasn't conflicted like Jay was.
Yeah.
And then you got the audacity to treat me like shit when I've had your back since the second I came back? Like... No. And I see how this is going, so the hell with you, buddy. So yeah. I guess I just wasn't expecting it there, but if you're going to do it, get it in the biggest crowd possible. You know, not 15,000 people in Greenville, South Carolina. You're in front of a sold-out stadium in Saudi Arabia with a crowd that was very into the show and knew what was going on. Boy, times have changed.
Yeah, that show, just in general, for the last couple, because was that the first time in 4 years they've been there, did they say?
I couldn't remember. Chris and I were trying to figure this out, too.
I thought they said 4 years during the broadcast. Could be wrong. Not going to really look that one up either and don't really care. But whatever, it's been 3 or 4 years since they've been there for sure with the pandemic and whatnot. Yeah, it was kind of, I think that the crowds were pretty good before that, honestly. Like, it seemed like they were getting past that whole, I just want to see the old guys, like the old Sheik's stuff, where it's just like, oh, this guy's pulling the strings so that... You know, we get Shawn Michaels on the card for one of the worst matches you'll ever watch.
Yeah, like we were talking about how it's gone from like kind of like sideshow stuff to just a real show in continuity, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
So yeah, even with that, I still wasn't expecting this. So they got to have something in mind. That they're like, hey, we got to hurry up and start getting this going. So, like that Jay wasn't totally sold. That was nice.
That was cracking me up the next day. The Jay is stressed face was all over the place, and I did get quite a kick out of that.
Yeah. I like the... It's like, Joe! When he yelled for him. So, yeah. But I'm looking forward to Friday. I mean, you'd think you get stale, but they just moved on. You know? Like, they went from Sammy and Kevin. Sammy said, hey, we won. That's the end of that. And now you're on to the four of those guys having their own little story right now. So. It's good. I mean, it's no way around it. So,
yep.
Yep.
Bell time beer on your side, sir.
I forgot to grab one, so I was just drinking water.
I am nearly ready to pee in my seat, but I can still talk about Evergreen Brewing was one of the breweries that I stopped at on my recent travels. It's in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, which is essentially in Harrisburg. And this one is called their Drippity Mango. It's a Berliner Weiss fruited ale, and it is fantastic, which is why I basically need to pee currently. So, very, very good beer. If you happen to be in the Harrisburg area or in central Pennsylvania, I highly suggest trying to pick up some Evergreen Brewing. It is some very good beer. There were other beers consumed that were not this one that that I did enjoy quite a bit too. So, yeah, Belltime beer from at Defrango 11. That is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.